Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti with my good friend Stephen Garchar, who is joining us remotely. At least he's not in the studio.
Hello?
Hi, there he is. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Phil. How are you doing?
Good. Sorry you're not here on this beautiful Sunday night.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, life happens.
But yeah.
We'll be back next week.
Next week we'll get back in the groove, because when I was looking at the calendar for the upcoming shows, I couldn't believe that today's already November 11th.
Yeah.
And that the time is ticking away toward Advent and Christmas. And it seems like every time you turn around, we're doing Advent shows.
Yeah. Time goes fast.
Boy, it sure does. But we're not going to do an Advent show tonight.
Okay.
Yeah. Tonight we're going to go back to one of my favorite books, where there's the book of Acts. And I say Acts ever since I heard a guy on the radio say, you know, everybody calls it the book of Acts like it's AX. When actually it's Acts. But anyway, we talked about the last few weeks about the Hebrew word hineni, and where God calls someone and the person says, here I am. I'm ready to serve you. Here I am. Send me. And, you know, it's kind of all an immediate coming to attention and saying, I'm available to do this, and here I am at your service kind of thing.
Right.
And I want to use one example from the New Testament before we go on to another series. And I think I was thinking about this, too, driving over here today. You know, the birth of the Messiah is really a big issue, a big thing, a big, important, overwhelmingly important thing.
Pretty substantial.
I think in a lot of churches and certainly a lot of the Messianic congregations that you and I both know about, it's kind of, Messiah was born. So let's go on to the next thing. And I'm getting the sense from the Lord this year that we should really talk about the coming of the Messiah in a, you know, kind of a more in-depth way. So I think we'll probably start that next week, since we have about, I don't know, 5 or 6 weeks, and then it'll be Christmas.
Right.
But anyway, right. We're going to go to Acts chapter 9, which, of course, immediately when somebody says Acts chapter 9, everybody says, oh, that's the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, and then he becomes Paul. And, mm-hmm. And then he went to the License Bureau and changed his name, and went to the Social Security office and changed his name, and, you know. But there's an interesting hineni moment in that passage. Are you someplace you can read, Steve?
I am.
Oh, good. So we're in Acts chapter 9. If you want to read, let's read 10 and 11 first.
10 and 11?
Yeah.
Let's see here. Oops. Uh-oh. There they are.
You don't have a chapter 9?
No, I do. I just dropped my glasses. Hold on a second. Here we go. Acts chapter 9, 10, and 11?
Yes.
See, those are the challenges in earthly life, is that you lose your glasses.
Yeah, that's right.
There was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. He answered, here I am, Lord. The Lord said to him, get up and go to the street called Straight, and ask at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is there praying. And in a vision, he had seen a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him, that he might regain his sight.
Ooh. So talk about the Lord always knowing where everybody is and what's going on. So here's an interesting passage where Paul, of course, has just been blinded on the road to Damascus, and he gets led to this house, which is probably, and it says it's the house of Judas. I don't know if it's a boarding house or the guy put him up in his bedroom or what, but here's Paul. Saul, I should say. He can't see anything. This amazing experience just happened to him. The Lord Jesus himself revealed all these things to him, as we would say in our time, kind of downloaded into his brain. But he had an unbelievable revelation, and now he's reduced to this blind guy who's lying in a bed, can't eat, can't drink, and all he's doing is praying, and he can't see a thing. And it says there's a disciple in the city named Ananias. So this is a Jewish believer, and we know that because later on in Acts 22, Paul's going to mention him again. It's the only other time in the scripture that he's mentioned. So this is actually the only thing that this guy Ananias does in the whole scripture, but it's pretty cool. So he's a disciple in Damascus, and he hears Jesus himself calling him. He's specifically chosen just for this mission. This is what I think is really cool. Like, Jesus doesn't, you know, say to Peter, go over to Damascus and you're going to find this guy in the house, or, you know, James, go over to Damascus, or, you know, one of the other, like, big apostles to, you know, go over to Damascus and find Saul. He asked this guy who we really don't know who he is, what he's doing there, a kind of unknown, not very important guy, to go and do this mission. He's a humble, unknown person that we don't know what he does after this, but there's no other mention of him other than Paul mentioning him in Acts 22. And as you read there, he gets specific directions and instructions. You know, the Lord doesn't tell you, well, you know, somewhere in the city you're going to run. Tells him right. Exactly where Saul is and exactly what he's doing. He's praying. I mean, yeah. What else would you be doing after an experience like that? Go ahead. You want to add something?
No, you know, there's that phrase in there. Here I am, Lord. So there's that call.
Yes.
That, the Lord's saying, I want you to go and do this. And it's another example of hearing the Lord, and not just hearing him, but then listening and acting upon what he's asking you to do.
Yes.
You know, sometimes when people get a word from the Lord, they like to ponder it a little better. They like to, they like getting the word from the Lord, and they find that intriguing. But then when it comes time to act, they can be a little hesitant as to, oh, so now I've got to respond to it.
Uh-huh.
And you go, yeah.
Yes, you know? Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And this is the how it ties into the series on Hineni that we've been doing, because
right.
Ananias answers immediately. And as you said, it doesn't say he thought about it for a while and then he answered. It doesn't say that he said, am I hearing voices or, you know, who is this? I mean, I don't generally hear voices, and now I hear a voice. Is this real or not real? I don't know. I'm going to go have another cup of coffee and think about this. He immediately answers. Now, the New Testament, of course, is written in Greek. And I'm not going to attempt to pronounce the Greek words because they're very difficult. Not that Hebrew's any easier, but the Greek, which is the word that's transliterated I think it's I-D-O-U, Idou or Idouo, which means behold, here I am, I'm ready. Is basically what it translates to. So it's kind of like the Greek version of Hineni. And I know the Greek scholars, you know, who are listening, and I'm sure there's lots of them who listen on Sunday nights, are probably already rolling their eyes going, oh man, did he screw that up? But the general idea of it is that Ananias answers, I'm here, and it gives the Greek word gives the idea that he kind of arises. You know, in other words, he jumps up and says, I'm here. I'm ready to do what you want me to do. It even says, behold, which in the Bible, you know, represents a certainty. I mean, behold, like we don't usually use the word behold very much in our, you know, modern English. I mean, yeah, most people don't go around saying, behold, I found my computer. Yeah. but, you know, behold used a lot in the, behold is used a lot in the scriptures. And it's a sign of certainty. Like, listen, behold, look at this. Behold what's going on here. So Ananias basically answers with this Hineni response that, and he may have said Hineni, for all we know, he was, might have spoken Hebrew too. But he answers with the same idea that, you know, you go back to Abraham when God calls Abraham and says, you know, get your stuff, get up and go. You know, the get up and go is what's important, because in Hebrew, the word means right now, get your stuff and go. Don't spend 3 weeks packing. Don't go to the post office to change your address. You know, don't go to the bank and get your money out. Just get your stuff together and go. And it's the same idea here with Ananias, that he's going to go on this mission, and he, you know, God calls and God generally waits for a response. And this is an immediate and a definite response, like the Old Testament examples that we used.
Right.
And even though, as we're going to see, we're going to have you read the next part, he has some question about it, but he's willing to go. And like you said, I think a little while ago, it's okay that we have some questions and some doubt, because we don't know the whole plan.
That's true.
I mean, we don't know what's going to happen because of the calling, or we don't know exactly how the calling is going to lead to a word-by-word, step-by-step plan. All he asks us to do is to respond and to be ready and to be available.
Exactly.
And it's what Ananias does. Go ahead.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, the call is, well, the call of God is, God always draws us near to himself. Mm-hmm. He's always, you know, he's always drawing us nearer to himself all the time.
Yes.
And it's, you know, are we attentive to that calling? Are we attentive to God in the, you know, in the little things in our life? A lot of times people tend to want to see the big things.
Mm-hmm.
And usually you get a big thing when you're really far off the track. That's when you get the big thing.
Yeah.
And most people that are faithful and they love the Lord and they, you know, they pray and they are in, you know, prayer and communication with God, they might not get those big moments, like a big conversion story.
Mm-hmm.
But, and the conversion story isn't necessarily what you're after. It's union with God. Because if you're way far away, then you have to have that big conversion, because God needs to get your attention in a dramatic way.
Yeah.
Like he did with Saul.
Does that involve pruning? Yes.
No, there's no pruning. No, they've modified it, so there's no pruning at all.
Oh, good.
But like Saul, God got his attention in a really big way.
Yeah.
He was blinded for 3 days.
Yes.
And Ananias is a prayerful man, and he answers God's call. Now, he certainly would have known about Saul of Tarsus.
Oh, yeah.
And the little bit of apprehension that probably was there, I say a little bit, there's probably more than that. There's apprehension there because he knows what he's been doing. He's been rounding up these believers in Jesus, these Christians,
mm-hmm.
and they've been persecuting them, imprisoning them, and stoning them.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, you want me to go and talk to
them? Yeah. Why don't you read that next part? Because that's really good.
So this is a 13. But Ananias replied, Lord, I have heard from many sources about this man, what evil things he has done to your holy ones in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to imprison all who call upon your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for this man is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before Gentiles, kings, and Israelites. And I will show him what he will have to suffer for my name.
Okay, let's pause there for, let's pause there for a second. So he answered without reservation, but then he expresses some doubt. You know, I'm sure everybody who's listening to this show and, you know, we have all experienced God in some way, and we've experienced Jesus in very personal ways, and the experience is awesome, and there's nothing like it, and lives are changed, and, you know, we don't have time to go through all that, because pretty soon the music will start, but you know what I'm talking about. Everybody's who encounters Jesus, their life is changed in a very radical way, but that doesn't mean that as you go through the rest of your life, you don't have some doubts and some reservations. So Ananias responds without reservation. Here I am. I'm ready. You know, kind of like when the prophets were called, you know, other than Jonah, Jonah tried to run away, but the rest of them were like, okay, what do you want me to do? And then it was like, well, wait a minute. I'm too young. Well, wait a minute. I don't know anything. Well, wait a minute. Those people over there are really mean. You know, they have doubts and reservations, but they're still willing to go when they're called. They're still willing to surrender everything to the Lord and accept his will and go along with the plan. And they're willing to suffer, to be ridiculed, because now they're being called and this calling is the most important thing to them. And this is something, of course, you know, that in our time has been lost to say that God's calling is the most important thing. But there's still, you know, a remnant of people that understand that. Ananias is ready to go, but now he says, but wait a minute, Lord, I don't know if you know about this, but this guy has been causing all kinds of trouble. He's been persecuting your holy ones. He's been, you know, having people put to death. He's here to round up people. He's got warrants for their arrest. And, you know, and the Lord answers him with one word, go. He doesn't say, look, Ananias, I know what he's doing. I know what's going on. I saw all the stuff he did in Jerusalem. I saw Stephen, not you, but the other one, being stoned. I saw Saul holding everybody's cloak. I saw all that stuff. No, he doesn't give an explanation. He just says, go, because this is the plan. He's a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name to the Gentiles. I mean, Gentiles of all people. I mean, bad enough when Samaritans started hearing the word, but now Gentiles. And the Lord says he's going to show him many things, the things he has to suffer for my name's sake. I think the prosperity people drop that one verse. But anyway, he has to suffer for the Lord's name. And we know how Paul did suffer. He recounts all that, and you can read 2 Corinthians. I forget what chapter it's in. But Ananias, but the point here with the Hineni part, here I am, is he responds, here I am. But he has some question. He has some doubt. But when the Lord says, go, he responds immediately. You know, the Lord doesn't give him a big explanation. And then Ananias doesn't reply with, well, all right, you know, I'll go, but, I'm going to take some people with me. Maybe I better take a couple of swords. Maybe I better, I don't know. I better think about this for a while. No, the Lord says go. He's a chosen vessel. And okay, now read starting in 17.
From Acts 9?
Yeah.
Okay, so Ananias went and entered the house, laying his hands on him. He said, Saul, my brother, the Lord has sent me, Jesus, who appeared to you on the way by which you came, that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, things like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. He got up and was baptized. And when he had eaten, he recovered his strength.
Woo. Isn't that cool? Yeah. So now Ananias questions, oh, I don't know, Lord, you know, this guy's been killing the holy ones in Jerusalem, to when the Lord says go, it says Ananias went. So he went right to the house after he heard this. No more questioning, no more doubting. But what I think is really cool is he lays on his hands on him and says, Brother Saul.
Yeah.
So, you know, a few minutes ago, he's saying, oh, this guy's killing the saints, and this guy's going to round people up, and this guy's got warrants from the high to Brother Saul. Which is a great example of people coming to the Lord and being brothers, regardless of what their past was.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a, you know, that's the hallmark of really what Christianity is, because there's always a newness of the person. There's a transformation of the person from the old self into the new person in and through Christ. And I think a lot of that really, you know, as you, and you know this because we talk about this at times, there, a lot of that is missing in our congregations and in our communities because, we see a fallen world and we see sinful people in it and we tend to forget that, oh yeah, I'm one of those sinful people too. And I just need, I'm in need of the blood for the redemption of my own soul. Just as much as that other person I'm over there looking at going, boy, what a hypocrite is that person.
Yeah.
And so in this encounter, even though Saul has done all these things, Ananias says, Brother Saul. Now he's a brother in the Lord, and they understood the foundation of being a family of God within a covenant, which we don't really, I don't think we understand it to the point that we need to in our culture today. Because everybody's isolated in their individual families, their earthly families, but they were talking about the kingdom of God, a spiritual family that's on, that's built on the foundation stone of Jesus Christ himself.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's, that, that shows the transformation in a very, and this is in a very short period of time because he tells Saul, I mean, Ananias is kind of like a nobody guy and Saul of Tarsus is this big time Pharisee. You know, if you read the first chapter of Galatians and if you read, in Philippians 3, Paul tells his credentials. He's like a big shot Pharisee. He's not like some little, you know, guy who, passes the basket at the collection or something. He's a big time Pharisee. And Ananias is this obscure guy who's a disciple and he goes, calls him Brother Saul and tells him where he came from. Says the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me.
Yeah.
So that you can receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then, not only that, but Paul is then healed, and Ananias gets to baptize him. So can you imagine that? I mean, can you imagine going through the rest of his life going, every time he heard what Paul was doing, he thought to himself, I baptized him. That's pretty awesome. And he, you know, he would have never thought of such a thing before, but these things happened as part of a plan that he responded to and said, Hineni, here I am. Woo.
Yeah, he's, you know, like you're saying, he's responding to the God's plan, and he's, you know, God makes his plan, and for he uses human beings to sometimes execute that plan.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of times he uses human beings to execute that plan.
Yes.
And sometimes we have to wonder why, but
yeah,
but God does. He uses human beings to execute the plan. That bring about his glory and his majesty. I mean, the ultimate plan is salvation through in and through Jesus Christ. And he even used human beings in that plan because he had Joseph and Mary. You know, they raised Jesus as a child.
Yeah.
They were entrusted with his care.
Yeah. Wow. Then Paul had something to eat and he started to preach in the synagogues about the Christ, that he is the Son of God.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that as you hear God's call, you too would say, Hineni, Here I am, Lord. Send me. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
Isaac and Abraham, an altar without a lamb, a covenant ring, a hand raised in faith that God himself would...
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gileotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.